you found it. Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome into the Big Z Sports Weekly Podcast. As always, we are powered by DAC Vitamins and Minerals, feeding champions since 1983, and Hartzler's Quality Housing. Nick McWilliams, Adam Soweski back with another edition of our podcast. And, you know, last time we spoke, there were a few more high school football teams in the playoff conversation. Now we're down to one.
Then there was one, and we are now entering week 13. So it is kind of nice to have a local team still, you know, still being able to do what they're doing week 13 that far into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one other thing, I guess now it's a sad time because we know that that means all the other area teams have dropped out. That means basketball is right around the corner.
Yes. Yeah, I know that the girls' action kicks off this weekend, and then the boys are always a week following that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Thanksgiving weekend this year, since it's a little bit later, the boys will kick off. And, yeah, we're right back into another high school sports season.
Yeah, we're kind of in that weird area that things kind of calm down a bit. Then all of a sudden, I think Thanksgiving hits and stuff starts ramping back up. And that's in professional sports and everything. There are still some things going on. Obviously, the NFL still very much in the midst of their season. NBA kind of getting things rolling. Now college basketball as well. But these are kind of a few things that we might touch upon here as we go. But first things first, naturally, we are still talking about high school football and the playoffs. The Ridgewood Generals are that lone team that is left from this area. The last one standing, so to speak. Before we touch upon them, though, we'll look at the other two that did get knocked out, unfortunately, this past week. That being, of course, the New Philadelphia Quakers and the Garraway Pirates. Both contests that they were in, fairly close at plenty different parts of it, but both of them unfortunately falling there just short at the end in the regional semifinals.
Yeah, and I know after talking to Coach Dennison on Saturday, you know, in the pregame, you know, he mentioned that mistakes were obviously a big part of the Quaker game on Saturday night, or I'm sorry, Friday night. And, you know, it's just tough. Playoff time, you have to bring your best effort, and, you know, you can't have the turnovers and you can't have the mistakes. And unfortunately, that played a big part of why the Quaker season came to an end. But, you know, nothing to hang their hats on or heads on. They, you know, another good year by New Philadelphia. And, you know, I'm sure, though they're going to be losing a lot of seniors, you know, I'm sure the Quakers will be right back there, you know, next season.
Yeah, and something of note, when you're playing a team like Aurora, which I had to think about that for a minute because I thought I was going to mess that up. You know, it was a point that was made in pregame when it was talking about their size. You know, New Philly was coming off a game against Kenston, big guys who you expected a physical game, but you had the advantage in speed. Well, with Aurora, you didn't have that because that entire team was loaded with athletes all over the field who could stretch the field. And you know, when you hit the nail on the head there with turnovers and mistakes, I think that was what plagued the Quakers the most. I don't think necessarily when things were rolling for them, I don't think the execution was there. Mm-hmm. But when things were not, I think sometimes there were a lot of unforced errors. You know, things just trying a little bit too hard maybe to get an edge, and rather than just go with the flow of the game. You know, I think Kobe Hoover coming in for the injured Baron May, of course, I think he had two picks that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was two, and then obviously they had the you know, the fumble on the opening kickoff. Yep. That was obviously not the way you want to start, but hey, you know, the Quakers were down, you know, it was a substantial, I forget what the actual score was at halftime. I'm thinking 21 or 20-3.
Mm-hmm. Something along those lines.
But, you know, the Quakers came right back, and, you know, they closed it to within 10 late, you know, in the fourth quarter. So, you know, they definitely didn't quit, and that's all the coaching staff and the fans can ask. And it was just a resilient bunch of kids.
Yeah, and I know New Philadelphia had playmakers all throughout that team. There's not, I know we talk about all the time, and we have been this season after Baron May went down, about saying that, you know, that the Quakers were in a lot of trouble, but they had playmakers everywhere. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, you get to this point in the year, you want an entire team, which I think top to bottom, New Philadelphia had a very quality team at basically every position. But you often see that there is one player who makes the difference. And, of course, for Aurora, that was that wide receiver, Papish, who was all over the field. And it just really seemed like New Philadelphia was having a terrible time trying to contain him.
Yeah, they were utilizing him a lot in the passing game. And the biggest part in the second half was they were running a lot of jet sweeps mm-hmm. with him. And he was, like I said, he was a fast kid. And, you know, if you don't get to the edge and seal it, he's going to do what he did. And it was, you know, 9 yards, 10 yards, 9 yards, 10, all the way down the field. And, you know, and what any good coach is going to do that. When they find something that's going to work, you're going to use it until it gets stopped. So,
and to that point, I think New Philadelphia might have faced a little bit more of north-south running than they had with east and west throughout the regular mm-hmm. season. So that could have been a wrench that was thrown into it. Still a valiant effort by the Quakers. And I think just getting that week one of the playoffs win against Kenston when you had a lot of adversity facing you, that speaks volumes to the senior class that has been with New Philadelphia, well, obviously for 4 years, but they've been making contributions for 4 years. You don't often hear about that.
No.
Whether it's May, Zemus, Joseph, Austin Cole, John Schiretti really had a good season before he got injured, but then came back and had great contributions as well. So once again, congratulations to the New Philadelphia Quakers for their season. And looking at the Garaway Pirates now, you know, for Garaway, this was a game that I knew with their skill set that they had a definite chance to make Akron Manchester pay a little bit in terms of using Matt Mullen and using Garrett Newsom. But the story of the day, naturally, and this is something that we kind of feared, so to speak, Ethan Wright for Manchester, just far too much down the stretch.
Yeah, and Ethan Wright was, I mean, you know, Coach Wallach, I'm sure he knew going in that that's okay. We stop Ethan Wright, we're going to win this game. Well, Ethan Wright's one of those players, and it just seemed like when, you know, listening to the game that he was just, like I said before, he just, if they needed 8 yards to get a first down, he'd get nine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was that kind of things, those kind of things were happening the entire game. He was making stops on defense, and, you know, with combination of the defense and, what, 31 carries for 225 yep. yards?
Somewhere, yeah. I think
mean, that's
right.
But you know what? The thing is, the Pirates were never out of this game.
No.
I mean, they can, again, they continued to fight. And, you know, they had their chances. And, you know, Coach Wallach, I'm sure, is just looking for, you know, if we execute this or execute that, the Garaway Pirates may have advanced.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a 7-point game, obviously, yeah. You know, you're right there no matter what. And mm-hmm. Right, the, I guess you could say, former Duke commit now kind of yes. looking at other teams now. When you've got a Division I athlete that you're going up against, not saying that Garaway doesn't have quality players, because, I mean, we've talked about them all year long. There's so many different players on that team. Just this area has a ton of those players yes. that are phenomenal. But when you have a guy who's at that echelon, it's crazy difficult sometimes. Times, even when you game plan just in and out as much as you possibly can, he just has that X factor, that those special plays that he's going to make, as you mentioned. Well, you need 8 yards, I'll get you 9, you know, things along those lines. And it's incredibly hard to stop. Garaway was definitely in this game all the way up to the end, but an offense that kind of went dry a bit in terms of finding the end zone. If Garaway finds a way to capitalize on a few other drives, just a few plays
yes.
that maybe, who knows, some of those drives may have been more sustained and could have ended up in the end zone and made this an entirely different game.
Absolutely, and I mean, that's the one thing when you're playing Akron Manchester and you know they're going to rely heavily with Ethan Wright, you know that you're, you know, that clock, it's going to be a shortened game
yep.
because you know that they're going to eat clock every time they have the ball. So, yeah, you definitely have to take advantage of those. And when you don't build a drive yourself, then obviously when you hand that ball back over to Manchester, more clock, you know, more, it's just a downward spiral from that point.
Yeah, things just get, I don't want to say exaggerated, things just get a lot worse whenever, you know, they're on the field. That's the biggest thing, is maybe Manchester only scoring 21 points. No, that's not great by any means. You kind of maybe would hope for more in a playoff game, but that just shows it just plays right into their offense and right into the team's MO. It's what it's been all year long. So congratulations to the Pirates as well. I know they have more than a few players coming back who could make big impacts next
oh,
year.
Yeah.
And a playoff regional semifinal run, nothing to hang your head on at all.
No, that's a great, you know, it's all going to start next year with quarterback Garrett Newsom. Mm-hmm. I mean, what better way to go to a regional semi? Yeah, your season had to end, but you're going to roll into next season with your leader, with your quarterback leading the way for next year's run.
Well, we already dubbed him the video game as a nickname going with this season, so I'm sure we'll see if that gets added on to next year. And of course, the one team, as we had mentioned before, that is still left, the Ridgewood Generals. I'm waiting for the day when I actually see them get challenged. That has not happened this season. I'm sure Coach John Slusser would tell me otherwise, that they have been challenged, because I know they have. That's the point of game planning and things along those lines.
Yes.
But another convincing win for the Generals. There's nothing else you can say.
No, there really isn't. And, we touched on this a little bit. This game also had a small portion of a running clock. So, I think gets them up to 10 games this year that they've had a running clock.
What are the ones that weren't? Indian Valley wasn't, and...
And I'm wondering if Garraway wasn't.
I think it was late. It actually was late.
Okay.
But
10 out of 12 weeks, they've had a running clock.
It's insane, and... before I go any further, because I know we're going to talk about Gabe Tingle because of his skill set, and we've said how phenomenal of a athlete he is for just a sophomore. But how about Connor Kunze? Yeah. 3 touchdown receptions. I think he had over 100 yards receiving and 2 picks on defense. He was everywhere.
Yeah, and that's anytime you can get a player to dominate both sides of the ball like that. That's the kind of things that get you towards those running clocks. And that's what, Ridgewood keeps having players step up and just own each side of the field.
Yeah, and I know that Coach Slusser is not exactly a big one for singling out one player. And, he brings up a good point, because a team is not founded around just one player. But we talk about Tingle every week. But then you start looking at all these different performances. I mean, Kunze steps up. I think the first week of the playoffs, it was Colton Smith, and Caden Smith had a few scores. You talk about Isaiah Lamnick in there at times. I mean, it's just always somebody stepping up. And once again, I 100% agree with him that Ridgewood might have the best defensive line in Division 5. I know that was something that the coaching staff had said multiple different times leading into this season and in the midst of this season. It just proved itself once again. When you're limiting an opponent to, the end score was 42-17, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so when you're limiting, and that last touchdown came, I think, way late.
Yeah, because the clock had already been running.
Yeah, realistically, throughout an entire game against an offense that... Wheelersburg had been their thorn in their side constantly.
Yeah.
And you're limiting them to basically the entire game on 10 points. Your defense came to play.
Oh, absolutely. And any coach will tell you it all starts with your offensive and defensive lines. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you can get pressure with your defensive line and be able to put your linebackers back into coverage, you're winning. I mean, that's all there is to it. You're winning that aspect of the game, because that's just more coverage that eliminates any type of short passing game, because your linebackers are already there. And, and with your defensive line being able to penetrate into the backfield, that pretty much slows down the run game. So that's what I mean. You are definitely shutting the other offense down.
Well, think of just that confidence factor throughout the entire defense. When you see 4, maybe even only 3 of your guys rushing in there, and they're still getting pressure, and you've got a buddy behind you who's right on a receiver with you. Think how much more confidence you have defending the pass, or even in the run. You can just, if you know that they're in a situation where they're going to run because you might have given up a few yards, but when you're only giving up a couple yards on pass plays, then all of a sudden you can just crowd the box because you know what's coming. And even when you don't, and even when you've got single coverage on the outside or down the middle or over the top, and you've got playmakers who you are confident enough in doing that. That's the absurd thing to me, is we're picking all these different facets of defense, and mm-hmm. Normally you expect they don't do this quite well, or they need to work on this. I don't know what it is for Ridgewood, and I don't know if we're going to find it out this coming up, their upcoming matchup, which will be our Sarshon Ford of Waynesburg play-by-play game of the week against Ironton in Nelsonville. This will, on paper, be their easiest, be easily their toughest matchup this year.
Yeah, and we alluded to when we were talking about Ethan Wright with Manchester, and
oh boy,
I'm going to let you, because I know that I'll butcher his name.
That's all right.
Ironton has a guy that, as a junior, has already committed to the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That would be 4-star linebacker and running back, but he's committed as a linebacker, Reed Carrico. Out of Ironton. This kid, I think he's listed at like 6'3", 225, 230 as a junior in high school. And I showed you some of his highlight film yesterday or the day before. For a kid that size in high school, you think defensive end. You think you could even be offensive lineman. you saw him run down a running back down the field after being burnt for about 10 yards and then running him back down in the next 30 to 35. That's not speed you normally see in Division V football in Ohio.
No, and this kid flat out flies. He's huge. And, you know, that's watching his sophomore highlight film.
That's the thing that's crazy is that was his sophomore year.
Yeah, that was his sophomore year. So obviously the stuff I was seeing, you would expect to see a Division I commit as a senior. Mm-hmm. You would see those type of film, those type of highlights. This was his sophomore year. So you know he's gotten stronger and he's gotten smarter. Mm-hmm. So, oh my.
Yeah. Well, the offense that Ironton presents is a straightforward smash mouth, run it up the middle offense. And for Ridgewood, it's not like they haven't faced teams that like to just run almost exclusively. I mean, they come out of the IVC. We expect that from a few teams. But it's an entirely different beast when you're looking at that Ironton offensive line. They've got some real big boys up there. And when you've got a guy who is as strong as Carrico is and is as fast, that's a whole new challenge. Now, again, we keep harping on this subject. Not one player makes a team.
No.
So we will see it. But Ironton's got plenty of skilled players throughout that entire team. And, you know, you get to the point of the playoffs where we talk about, potentially having to have these long trips places, like when we were talking about Ridgewood hosting their first playoff game. Well, not their first ever, but hosting their first playoff game to the playoffs this year. You talk about those long trips. Well, it's evened out now because, you know, both going to Nelsonville, which is kind of even.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to factor in. But, man, you've got to have such mental toughness and mental preparedness if you're Ridgewood getting ready to face a guy like that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Coach Slusser, I'm sure, will have a game plan that's going to focus on knowing where he's at on the field. I mean, offensively or defensively. When you have a player at that caliber, you at least have to be prepared enough to know, okay, when they're in this set, this is what he does or this is what he typically does. You just have to know where he's at so then you can, you know, call your plays accordingly.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a tall task, but I'm sure Coach John Slusser will come up with that game plan that's needed. And, yes, absolutely. The Ridgewood Generals have a very good chance to move on. But as you had mentioned, this will definitely be, at least on paper, their toughest matchup to this point of the season.
Well, if we were looking at paper last week, it should have been Wheelersburg winning that game, just given recent history.
That paper got burned like the other ones.
Yeah, no kidding. We got rid of that one very quickly. And, you know, one other note, and I hate to harp on, again, one player, but the thing that I pointed out to you yesterday, too, was that Carrico is actually listed as an inside linebacker as a recruit, but sometimes he's fast enough on Ironton, they'll line him up on the outside of the defensive line and run him as almost basically a slot corner.
Which is, you see that all the time. Not really.
Thought he was serious there for a minute. Went, okay, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's insane. And that, again, that just reiterates the speed that this kid plays with.
Yeah, insane. So definitely stay tuned for that coming up this Saturday. It'll be myself, Joe Geckler, Travis McClelland, down at Nelsonville, and I'm forgetting somebody else.
I believe that... Keith Thomas will be there.
And we're seeing about getting other people, possibly. We'll see how that all works out. But that'll be a long Saturday for myself and Joe Geckler because we are heading down for the Ohio State game against Penn State, which is a noon kick, before swinging on over to Nelsonville bring you that.
Yeah, at least at all time, the times actually worked out for you.
Oh, it times out right, but I'm prepared for a long day, my friend.
I'll tell you what, though. There's going to be a couple other high school football games that I want to keep an eye on this week. You're going to have...
Are you bringing back big games outside Big Z Sports?
Well, I'd love to right now. You got Maslin playing Akron Hoban, which I got to root for the Tigers in that one. Mm-hmm. Chardon is going to take on Aurora, which Chardon's the team that defeated Dover. Aurora's the team that defeated Philly. So both playing very good football right now.
The one I'm most looking forward to, and you're probably going to mention this one, is naturally Menor St. Ed. Have you ever watched... I've never watched them in person, but have you watched Mentor play?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a well-oiled machine, like a well-oiled Division I offense half the time.
Yeah,
It's just Division I college offense, to clarify. Yeah. But yeah, any others on there?
The other one I'm going to... Just because of that little side note that I found before we started here, Kirtland and Manchester will be playing. Kirtland, in the last 9 years, they're 124-7.
That's all.
124.
Well, you know, those seven, though.
And seven losses. I mean,
in how many years?
9.
So less than a loss a year?
Yes. Yeah, there were some 15-0s on there.
I don't understand, but to be fair, Sandy Valley surprised us with their first-round matchup against Kirtland and really gave them a run for their money. But
124-7.
Yeah, that'll do. If you're a Kirtland fan, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy because so you've got senior classes in there who might only know 3 losses at the most.
Yeah, yeah. Because over a course of 9 years, yeah. I don't think they're going to know what a multi-loss season is.
Well, that'd be interesting to look back at and see if they've actually had recent ones. I'll let you take a look at that while we move it along. So, Kirtland, my gosh.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Anyway, I alluded to earlier the Ohio State-Penn State game that myself and Joe Geckler will be down at. Naturally, all your Buckeyes coverage throughout the year is brought to you by Dr. Nathan Springer, DDS, in the business of making smiles. And you're in the middle of the Big Z Sports Weekly podcast brought to you by DAC Vitamins and Minerals and Hartzler's Quality Housing. Always got to get those plugs in there. So looking at some Ohio State stuff, against Rutgers, a 56-21. Actually, before I get into that, do you have it?
Yeah, actually, I found that it's kind of nuts. 2010, they were 12-1. 2011, 15-0, won the state title. 14-1, 2012, they lost in the title. 13, they were 15-0, won the title. The next year, 14-1, lost in the title. 2015, 14-1, won the title. 2016, they were probably ready to shut the school down.
This was their down year.
They were probably going to shut the school down. They were 11-2. 2017, 14-1, lost in the title. And last year, 15-0, won the title.
So to my point of what I said before, you actually, from 2010 to 2013, you had a senior class that knew 2 losses their whole career. Anyway, moving on to college football, because we can't put that into perspective.
No.
Ohio State picking up that 56-21 win over the juggernaut Rutgers.
Yeah, they covered, though.
Ohio State surely didn't.
No, I said Rutgers.
Well, that was the first thing I guess I want to get into, is that Ohio State was a 52.5-point favorite at kickoff.
Yeah.
Come on, that's a little ridiculous. Ohio State won very handily. I think they were up... Was it 49-7 at one point?
I think so.
I believe it was 49-7. Kind of took their foot off the gas just a little bit. A lot of reserves playing. I think a couple walk-ons playing Bus driver, the food service person who helps them in the Woody Hayes Athletic Complex. They brought him down, decided to strap him in with some helmets and shoulder pads. But anyway.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought Ohio State played well. They just didn't play nearly as well as I expected, and I think that sometimes happens when you're playing an opponent like that. You're going to make boneheaded mistakes. Like, for instance, the first mistake that comes to mind was the Garrett Wilson punt fumble, the muffed punt, naturally.
Yeah.
That's something that I can, and he's a freshman, too, to be fair. So it's kind of something I expect. But I actually set up Rutgers and end up getting a touchdown out of that. If you're worried that they didn't cover that massive spread, and if you're worried about those mistakes, they'll be fine. You will not see that against Penn State.
Now, you said that you and Joe are going to cover this game, correct?
Yes.
Hey, did you know somebody else is going to be there this week?
I did not. Who's that?
Chase Young. He's coming back.
Oh, that's right. You know, that guy that you might not know about, Chase Young. Yes, you are correct. Coming back off of that suspension that was going to be the entire regular season suspension, and the NCAA decided to smile lightly. And I feel like that's a situation where the NCAA might have looked at it and went, well, maybe this is a lot less severe than we were assuming.
Well, everything that I read on it, it made no sense. I mean, I understand they probably felt like they had to do something.
Well, by the letter of the law that they have, yes, it's a violation.
But the fact that the guy was just trying to borrow money to get his family to a game and he was willing to pay that back.
Girlfriend.
Somebody that means something to him. We'll stay with that.
Yes.
But he was willing to pay said individual back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like if I'm at school and I happen to be on the football team and I'm like, oh man, I left my wallet back in my dorm. Hey, can I borrow $20 so I can eat dinner? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it really getting to that point now?
Well, that's the thing, is like I have to wonder if, let's say, because I rewind to, I believe it was Ha Ha Clinton Dix with Alabama, taking money from a coach and getting one game of a suspension. And it's kind of odd that, you know, this whole family friend thing. But yeah, I mean, if I approach you or you approach me and say, hey, can I borrow like $20? This is no federal crime, everyone. This is a personal loan.
Yeah.
And that's what just, I don't understand why the NCAA, some of the ways that they handle things like this, I just don't understand why that has to be a rule in that regard. If he's sitting here and he's taking $10,000 from a car dealership that they make a promise like, hey, when I'm out of college and I can actually do endorsements, like actually legitimate endorsements, yeah, I'll sign with you. Sure, I get that.
Yeah.
But this is just so bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck, Penn State and Clifford. Sean Clifford, I believe, is their quarterback.
Yeah,
you'll have a fun night in Columbus, or afternoon.
Because I think Mr. Young
might be a little annoyed.
Yeah, he'll probably want to make up for those 2 weeks that he lost.
Well, that's the crazy thing to add. You know, he's a half sack short of tying and then a full sack short of breaking the Ohio State single season record.
I'm thinking he's probably... This Saturday might be a great time to bust that record.
Yeah, and again, he's missed two games, everyone. I think it was Vernon Golston has that record right now. There's nothing about Chase Young that's not phenomenal, that's just insane the way he plays.
Yeah.
Absolute top five pick, in my opinion, coming up in the next draft. Maybe he'll surprise Ohio State fans and say, hey, I'm returning. That's not going to happen.
No.
So enjoy these last few games as you have with him, with the Predator, so to speak.
And after seeing how Penn State struggled with a getting better.
A very good Minnesota team.
And Indiana.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually Indiana last Saturday that they struggled.
I'm 2 weeks back.
Yeah. They struggled with Indiana, though they are getting better. It's Indiana, and they struggled. And now they're coming to Columbus to take on the Buckeyes.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Penn State has a lot of youth and just a lot of inexperience.
Yeah.
So I think that they were getting a little bit too much love in the polls initially.
Yeah.
They've got a few good wins. I think they beat Wisconsin. No, they did not beat Wisconsin.
No.
Okay, well, you get my point. Is they're not terrible by any means.
They're in their games, but it's right. I think they're going to have a wake-up call this weekend.
Yeah, very well could be. I think the spread is 19 points right now.
That sounds about right.
If I'm not mistaken. If you ask me, I think for our pick sheet that we do every week, I picked Ohio State to cover, but I don't know if they necessarily will. And just the reason being is that, is this the first game at home all year long that they've had all eyes on them? Because you think about the three different networks have their pregame shows there.
Oh,
BTN, Fox, ESPN. It's not a case, you know, they played Wisconsin and they played their names at the shoe. But I think I don't know. I think there might be a little bit, the lights won't be on because it's a noon kick. But I don't know. I think I just get this feeling that they might be just a little bit flat to start. I think they'll win convincingly, but I don't think this is going to be as dominant as some people are assuming it's going to be.
Which is, I mean, it's easy to tell easy to think that because, yes, if you're not used to all that hype obviously there's hype with every home.
Well, I think they've been used to hype this year now.
Yeah, but you know, to have them all set up waiting outside, you know, like you said, all eyes on them.
Mm-hmm.
If that hasn't been the case, it is a little bit different. But no, I think that they understand how big this game is, and they understand they take care of this game, and you know, things are looking very, very well for going through the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, also considering you've got that Michigan matchup, which, again, Michigan somehow week in and week out, they're still a team that I agree with should be in the top small portion of the nation. But they somehow find a way to be continually, like, disappointing, and that's the only word that I can come up with. I mean, you've got talent. They recruit well. Maybe not as well as they should, but they recruit well. And I don't know. It just seems like Ohio State. I remember reading not too long ago some Michigan fans on like a blog. It might have been MGo Blue. I'm not sure. But talking about how, like, at this point, you know, they're not necessarily blaming Harbaugh. They're not necessarily blaming players. The university itself, they don't know what it is, but they're just saying about how some other teams in the Big Ten are just light years ahead of them, namely Ohio State, and I have to agree. And even with Penn State, who's been on the rise recently, who's been getting better, who's been doing right things, they just seem so far behind Ohio State still.
They really do, and it usually shows every year in Week 10 or, you know, at the end of the mm-hmm. season when they play each other. It's like, you know, Michigan, they can come in with a decent record and have been playing well, and then that's when they end up getting beat by 40 because it's like, wow, they are really not – they're just not there yet.
A 62 spot like last year. I don't think that's going to happen, but my goodness, you got good momentum for that going into that game this season. But
yes.
I'm looking too far ahead. Saturday, noon, Joe Geckler and I down in Columbus. Stay tuned. And speaking of Ohio State, one other thing to note, the Ohio State men's basketball team really struggled with, no, I'm just kidding, dominated Stetson last night. I think I sent you a text and everyone else in the sports group a text about when I tuned in, it was 34-6, and Stetson had made one shot on 22 attempts. That pretty much sums up the game for you.
Wow. I missed that. But yeah, that's a pretty good stat line for the Buckeyes defense, at least.
Well, when I started watching some of the Stetsons, well, the Hatters, terrible team name.
Stetson Hatters, huh?
Yes, they're a terrible team name. But anyway, when I started watching, I went, well, maybe Ohio State's defense is doing that well. I saw three open looks that didn't even touch rim. They just clanged off a backboard, and I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
But Ohio State picks up a pretty convincing win, as you would have expected, and 4-0 now, and crack the top 10 of the AP poll.
It's always good to see the Buckeyes. I saw Michigan State. I think they're sitting at 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it should be a good year for the Buckeyes basketball, which is always, I love college hoops. You know, it's always a fun thing to watch. So, yeah, I'll be looking forward to maybe some excitement in Columbus, maybe in the springtime.
Yeah, you never know. Could be. I think they have UNC and Kentucky coming up in the next five games. Maybe it's UNC. I know for sure they have Kentucky, and I want to say it's UNC too. So a very West Virginia with Bob Huggins. They'll be playing them. So a very interesting stretch coming up to really see. Well, heck, I thought Villanova was going to be a test early on, and they proved me wrong on that.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the Buckeyes and Mountaineers play at
Cleveland, Rocket Mortgage Field.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, they're because it's like right around Christmas, isn't it? Yeah.
Should be a very fun game with that. Bob Huggins coming from kind of the local area, grew up in Midvale, right?
Yeah.
So it's always fun. If you can get tickets for that, head on up to Cleveland. It should be a fun game for sure.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much wraps up our college section now. I can't think of anything else from that. NBA, Cavs suck again. They started off well, and now they've lost 4 in a row and got absolutely ousted by the Knicks last night. Yeah. I think some of that inexperience from John Beilein is starting to show.
The only nice thing about it is, you know, Golden State is hanging right with them, because I don't know Golden State's exact record, but they're
not. Bad.
They're,
it's real bad.
They're not good.
Well, to be fair, when you're missing Klay Thompson and Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Wrong Curry. Steph Curry.
Yeah, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green only plays like half the games.
Yeah. Not necessarily out of him being on the floor, just out of choice. He's only playing about half. When your big marquee name right now is D'Angelo Russell, who
just got hurt.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Well, never mind. See, that's kind of how things are going for Golden State. They're playing the long-term game.
Yes.
So I'm sure Warriors fans are going to ignore this season.
Yeah.
Just exit out of the record books. But yeah, Cleveland showing some of that youth that they have problems with.
But you got to start. You know, the thing is, you knew it was coming, especially after LeBron left. Mm-hmm. But you have to get a plan in place. And that plan really is, this is basically the first year that plan can start.
And they already look better than the team did last year.
Because they had so many old players on that team, you're not going to rebuild with guys that have like a year or two left. Now they're getting some youth in there, and then they'll be able to build with the youth. You can't build with guys that should have retired 2 years, you know, 2 years ago.
Well, it's kind of hard to make a championship run when your players are collecting game checks and Social Security checks at the same time. But I'm happy to see an infusion of youth.
Yep.
NFL-wise, we're going to kind of gloss over the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing. We all know about it. Suspensions are being appealed.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens tomorrow, I believe, when the verdicts are supposed to come. Whatever happens to Garrett, I'm fine with it. Rudolph just getting fined. Sure, I'm fine with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Just everyone, grow up. You know better. You're adults. Don't do things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yep.
Any other NFL news of note? I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
Nothing too crazy has happened, so nothing that I can think of either.
The Chiefs and Chargers, that went down to the wire. That was an interesting game.
Yeah, it was. I watched about the first half of that, and then sleep seemed a little bit more important to me at that time. But no, that was a good game. It was kind of nice to see, because if you remember last year when they tried to have a game in Mexico, they had to move it because the field was horrible.
Well,
and that field wasn't too great last night.
That turf was very bad.
Yeah.
Very bad. I thought they were actually playing on grass for quite a bit, like just normal natural grass.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was kind of rough, but a fun game to watch nonetheless. Phillip Rivers, though, 3 turnovers, that puts a damper on things a bit. The Chiefs, I think, are a very good team offensively. when they have everybody. But they didn't have everybody because Tyreek Hill got hurt last night.
Yeah, hamstring injury.
Damian Williams got hurt last night.
Yeah, you know, I heard an interesting stat about Phillip Rivers that it's just like one of those ones that makes you sit there and think. Last night's game was the 61st game in Phillip Rivers' career that he's lost by 7 points or less.
Ooh.
61.
It makes you wonder, though, if that's as much on him as it is coaching or other players around him. Because
a lot of L's.
I've always liked Phillip Rivers, and I thought he's a quality quarterback all the time, but he's never been upper echelon in my mind. That's heartbreaking. That's a horrible stat to have follow you around. That's pretty much it for NFL. I don't have much else from that. MMA news, because I do it every time when Adam's here, just because it's a good kick.
Just because I stand here like this.
Ben Askren, only a 3-fight career, and he had to call it quits with hip issues. It's interesting, some people calling that a bust, considering he was hyped to the moon coming in with his previous wrestling career and things along those lines. But 3 fights, and that's it. He's only, I think he's 36, 37, somewhere in there. Has to get a hip replacement because his hips are so bad.
Wow.
That's pretty rough. So, my opinion, I think it was all just a money ploy in the first place, getting him in there. Be that as it may, only 3 fights, so kind of disappointing for anyone really hoping to see a long career out of him. I think that's pretty much everything, Adam, unless you got one other thing.
I would say, actually, the hip on the MMA fighter kind of jogged my memory of Tua. He had a surgery yesterday, and they said they were hoping to have him back in Tuscaloosa today to begin his rehab.
A very good prognosis he got out of that. Yeah. Some kind of fracture on interior wall or something. I'm no doctor, and a dislocation on his hip. Oh, it just sounds so brutal and looked brutal as well.
Yeah, they said it because when they explained it, it made me cringe because I guess when it dislocated, it actually shoved the ball. There's a ball up there, and it shoved into that wall.
And cracked it, basically.
And cracked it. I'm like, oh.
Before it popped back out, then.
So after the explanation, I'm like, so that's why he was screaming.
Yeah, I think most of us would be having the same reaction. And on top of that, almost broke his nose because his face mask came down and smacked his nose.
Yeah.
Rough day for Tua, but hopefully gets back well. I hate anyone getting injured. I don't care if it's Bama. It doesn't matter.
Especially something like that that's career-threatening, not just season-threatening.
Well, the moment that happened, I said that's just eerily similar to a Bo Jackson kind of deal, which we know what happened with Bo, but... medicine has advanced quite a ways in about 30 years or so.
Yeah, and they said that there was, I forget the guy's name, but they said another Alabama player had the same exact injury, and I know that C.J. Mosley.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He had the exact same injury, and obviously he's still playing, so that's probably encouraging for Tua.
Well, good outlook, and we're sorry to give you horrible mental images of injuries right before we go, but you know, that's just what we do. Yeah. All right, another edition of the Big Z Sports Weekly Podcast is a wrap. Again, big thank you to DAC Vitamins and Minerals and Hartzler's Quality Housing. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to come back to 99.9 FM and on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports, for our Sarshon Ford of Waynesburg play-by-play game of the week coming up this Saturday, 6:30. We're starting from the field with the Wood Electric pregame show before we get into the action between Ridgewood and Ironton. It's going to be a fun one. Adam, thank you so much once again for joining me, as always, and always stay up to date with us as well on, I mentioned Facebook, but also streaming online at WTUZ.com and on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. Nick McWilliams, Adam Soweski, we're out. Thanks again, Z Country.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.